or whatever I wanted you to see. And then from there, I'll go further and further, because depending on what you click, if you click on the blog, you're looking for information. So I'm going to start guiding you that way, keep giving you information as you go. If you're looking for videos, or I'm going to, you know, you're not a book learner. You might be more tactical learner if you're into videos. So then I'm going to guide you that way as far as your learning style, just different marketing ploys that I'm doing. So it's, like I said, it's like a choose-your-own-adventure. And hopefully when you come out the other end, you've bought something.
Hey guys, Antonio here. I'm just checking in on a few things. Going to make sure we've posted on Facebook that we get everyone in. We're still 2 minutes out. And I see Kevin out there. Joe, been listening to you spend some info. Adam, we talked. Although, Adam, did you disappear? Looks like he's offline now. Where did Adam go? BJ, looks like you're out there. Good. Saw some great answers that you answered just earlier today. I think you were talking about what companies impress you and which ones don't. I wasn't surprised. I think it was it Cox Cable or Verizon? Which one?
Cox Cable. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my gosh, hate them.
And I think it's just so interesting how some companies can make us love them. Other ones, literally, it's like, are you kidding me? Like, you've just ruined the entire experience, and I'm going to purposely tell people not to use your service. And a perfect example for me was Las Vegas, going through the hotel, although they've kind of got a market on it, but the Westgate in Las Vegas, I stayed there a week, and I just felt like they nickel and dimed me for everything, from trying to get $10 just to use their gym, because I didn't pay the basically we didn't pay the resort fee with the way that the conference negotiated with them. I would have to pay $10 a day to be able to get a fridge in my room. The coffee was $3.50 per glass to be made in my room. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, it's never that great. So why would, I mean, coffee in the room, especially when you come from a really nice hotel. I was just staying at the Sheraton in Phoenix, Arizona, the week before, and everything was taken care of. It was just nice. Swam laps in their pool. Oh, and they kicked me out of the pool because I was there a few minutes early. And, well, I lie. I was there 120 minutes early, which to me is kind of like a few. But but it's 7 o'clock in the morning. Your pool should be open so people can swim laps. That's right. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Safety. No lifeguard, no swimming. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. It's, who's that? Who said that? Let me see. So said. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Antonio,
about safety.
Which one was this? Because I'm going to the Westgate. Which hotel was this? Because I'm going to the Westgate in October.
Yeah, it's the Westgate right next to the convention center.
Okay, is that the one that says Westgate Casino?
Yes.
Oh my God! So, but I actually have an account with them. So they treat you different then?
They probably do. I would have to, you know, I just bought through the conference. And it's just one of those things that you just, you know, it really turns people off, I think, in the hotel industry when all that stuff isn't included. And they try to nickel and dime you thinking that they're going to get you in at that low price. And then every single day, they're trying to upsell you another $35 to $50 and stuff. When, I don't know, I really, next time when I go to Vegas, I like everything just to be taken care of. I don't mind paying a little bit more, just with the knowledge of knowing that I'm not going to get ripped off for all these other old things I need.
I said, cool, I hope they're not like that all the time.
All right, let me see, who else do we got? We are about to start. Tom, are you out there?
Yes, sir.
Yep, there's Tom. And is Mike out there? Where's Mike Moreno?
He said he would be on. I know I got an email from him, so I don't know if he'll be late or what. And then also, I don't know if he's
James. James, I don't see James out there. Curtis.
Curtis said he had to go into work, but he's going to try to hop on a call. James, I didn't hear back from, but I think James might be traveling right now.
Okay.
So. Cool. Well, Antonio, I know the way I wanted to kick this off was doing a bit of a round robin with the guys, but I think maybe to preface that before we get to that, I don't know if it's worthwhile to. I know we talked a little. I heard you talking a little bit about Vegas, but any like specific takeaways for you or for the guys, the High Speed Elite members that joined you from the conference?
I'd say nothing beats in-person meetings. I mean, you guys heard us a week ago when we were just starting and the conference hadn't even officially yet begun. So, or maybe we had had one day. I'm not sure about that. But, Joe, maybe you want to share some of the stories, and I think you're going to be the best person to talk about this, what you got out of that conference.
So, something I learned I kind of knew it as in the back of my mind, but it wasn't real until it happened. And that was, even though I'm an online business and my focus is doing .coms, you got to get off your ass and get out in the real world. You got to get away from that computer and press the flesh. My dogs were barking. My feet were hurting because I was walking around a lot. I went to a few of the talks. It seemed like everybody was pushing podcasts, and people kept asking me if I was going to the podcast sessions, and it seemed like the majority of it was podcast stuff and this new webinar thing going on with Periscope and everything else. And I'm not a podcaster. I really wasn't into that, and I was kind of down for whatever was going on. But the greatest value I got out of this, I learned some things at the talks, but it was just meeting new people and being around that energy. It was something about that energy of like-minded people, of people who have been where I am, and I see, like, you know, my future self. And I was kind of dragging my feet, and I feel like overwhelmed and everything, but going there sort of reset my battery, and it was this huge power lift. And before I left there, I was already planning on how am I going to stay connected to these people that I met, because every person I got a business card from, I felt like I connected with in some way. But I want to keep it alive before it comes that awkward sending you an email, hey, do you remember me sort of thing. And it was just, I don't know, it was really killer. I was in a talk, and it was Mignon, the grammar girl, and she was talking, but my knees were killing me because, you know, I got some problems with my knees, so I had to get up and kind of walk around. So I stepped out, and as soon as I step out the door, who's standing, like, right in front of the door is Pat Flynn and Chris Ducker. And they're just standing there. So I told Chris Ducker, I had messaged him before I went down there, that I wanted to speak with him about something, because I was a little bit confused about the virtual staff finder thing. So I want a VA, but something was confusing me on the site. And so I was kind of politely waiting for him to finish his conversation. I didn't realize that the little man in front of me was Pat Flynn until I saw his backpack that says, hi, my name is Pat Flynn. So I wanted to meet Pat Flynn as well. So I started talking to Pat, and then Pat introduced me to Chris. And then I kind of saw them every once in a while. And every time they saw me through there, they're like, hi. And we would talk about, you know, in passing business here and there. And then got the chance where I'm walking past Antonio, who's talking to Chris. And Antonio's like, let's go do lunch. I'm like, on it, let's go. You know, so I had lunch with Antonio. Chris Ducker and then Pat Flynn came over and sat down with me. I'm just listening to Antonio and Chris talk about business. And that, you know, I mean, they're on a totally different level than I am. Listening to Chris talk, he's on a completely different plane of enlightenment that I belong on. I mean, he knows business. He understands it. And he's very business and profit oriented. You can just tell by the way he talks and the energy he's got. He's no BS. And so listening to you guys talk was just absolutely killer. I'm absorbing it in, keeping my mouth shut, and just taking it all in. And that was kind of the theme, was I would listen to a lot of people talk about that stuff.
I remember one moment in which, and I kind of take it for granted, that I enjoy being at the conference. It's not work to me. And can you talk about one of the aha moments that you shared with me when we were about to go back out? You know, I think it was like, I don't know, maybe 6 o'clock at night, and we're starting part two of the day of networking.
I don't remember. I don't know exactly which aha moment you were talking about.
How we actually enjoyed it. It seemed like, I think you may, I remember you saying something about how we actually enjoyed it. It didn't seem like work. It was like almost all play.
It was not work at all. It was doing cool shit with cool people. I'm sorry, pardon my language, it's going to be offended, but that's what it was. It was just doing something really cool, being around something really epic, being a part of something really great around people who just get it. I mean, there was no, like, I mean, there's so many different personalities. I thought everybody's going to have that professionalism and be uptight, and I thought people were going to be, there was going to be quite a bit of a pretentiousness and people kind of being bigger than what they really were, and it wasn't. It was just really cool people. I mean, it just felt like I was hanging out and I was learning stuff along the way. I mean, and it was just fun. It was like a giant game or a retreat.
Yeah, and I was really happy that you saw that, because I take it for granted, but you just coming out of the Air Force, I mean, you're used to, if you get a whole bunch of people together, there's still a rank structure. There's still the idea of, you know, I forgot, really haven't thought about it for a long time, but you can't have fraternization or things like that. And at this level, I mean, we're going to events, and you see, I mean, people sometimes get a little bit friendly. You know, it's like, wow, you know, Chris Ducker, I think at one point, you know, he's got, you know, he's surrounded by five women at, but they're all talking business. So, but we were giving him a little bit of a nudge there. Well, I muted everybody. I'm going to unmute everyone here in a second. Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, when I stepped out that door and I saw Pat there, and it took me a little bit to recognize who he was. I thought it was just somebody waiting to talk to Pat. Well, Chris was talking to this lady. There's some people online, and Pat Flynn actually interrupted Chris talking to the lady and was like, let me just completely cut her off and introduce Chris to me. I was like, whoa. I was like, you didn't have to do that, man. I was like, I can wait, you know. I was like, I've got a couple of days here. And then after Chris Ducker's speech on Profit First, or Think with the Profit in Mind, I went up there to talk to him, and there was a young man, and he'd been standing there waiting to speak to Chris very politely and just very patiently waiting. And once kind of Chris got a break in the crowd and what he was doing, and it seemed like the appropriate time, the young man started speaking, and Chris completely shut him down and said, one second, and then goes to me and goes, yeah, Joe, and starts talking to me. I'm like, whoa. I was like, no, he was here first. And he's like, you've got seniority. Go. I was like, that's fantastic.
Well, it also helps when you get introduced through friends. So it's one of the most powerful, when people know that you're approved by somebody else and that you're in their circle. And, you know, I see Mike's out there too. So I'm going to unmute Mike, which, by the way, I muted everyone because we had a little bit of background noise, and I'll unmute everyone here soon once we get into the round robin discussion. But yeah, it is something that when you have friends and friends introduce you to other friends, you by default become a friend unless you violate that trust. And Joe, you did a good job of, you know, just being tall, being big, and you were my you were joking around. You were my security the entire time.
Yeah, I was your bodyguard because that's what I felt like. You know, I'm not really one for jumping.
No, it was good to have you. Thank you very much for bringing the wine. I wasn't able to drink all of it, but I did get a couple glasses. The next day, I made sure to drink it during the day, actually, so I wouldn't show up on the flight the next morning drunk. And And yeah, really appreciate it. Now, Mike, see, you just joined us. Maybe you can share a little bit about what you got out of New Media Expo.
Hey, yeah, I was able to go last year, so, you know, I really had a certain expectation. And last year, I had visited with some folks and made some friendships, but not with any of the speakers. And you're talking about that whole rank structure thing, and I've been thinking about it, because when I was there, I was kind of uncomfortable going up to people and saying, hello, how do you do? And I was thinking back about that. I used to work at a school for the Navy, and we had admirals come in all the time. And literally, we were taught, you know, to be silent, you know, and not speak until spoken to. And that was just kind of, you know, the thing. And I just reflected back upon that. It's like, yeah, no wonder. I had an admiral who said hello to me, and I said, yes, sir. And then this guy asked my boss, hey, why didn't he talk to me? He's like, well, we teach him to shut up. You know, we don't talk. You know, a lieutenant doesn't talk to an admiral. But the whole vibe was so different at NMX. And really, you know, my big fish just to meet and say hello to was Pat Flynn. And I really, you know, I had seen him around. I didn't really want to go up and get in his business. As a matter of fact, I think it was Wednesday night. I was walking through the hallway, and I saw him, and he's sitting down. He was talking to his kids on his phone. And there's no way I was going to mess with him at that time. So I thought, hey, you know, that's the chance. Oh, well. But I met three other folks, and we kind of hooked up for Thursday evening. And we're going to go out and eat someplace. And somebody figured out that Pat was having a dinner at Planet Hollywood. So I said, we'll go. So we went there and was able to say hello. He was as gracious as anybody could be. I don't think he knew that I was connected with Antonio, but I let him know that. But just said, thanks, no, very much, very gracious. And throughout this time, you know, everybody was so gracious. And I think there's a couple of aspects to that. First off, you know, the way that you grow your business is to make connections. So even folks at the top of their game are always looking to make connections to continue what they've done so far. But also, I think those who are at the top of their game are near the, you know, near the top, they know what it's like to be starting out. And when they see us, I think there's a reflection of them when they were at the point we are. And, you know, they'd put their blood, sweat, and tears in it, but they know what the payoff's like, but they also know this may help them at one point in time. So, you know, I'm making that transition from shut up and don't say anything to a gracious introduction. Not to get up and get in somebody's face and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, but to do it, you know, in a way that makes sense. Antonio, is that about right? I mean, is that tracking with you?
Yeah, but I think another thing that people recognize is when you've paid your dues and it's one thing if somebody comes up, introduces themselves, and they say, you know, I'm thinking of starting this. Instantly, I can say the conversation doesn't get very far because there's not much I can help somebody with if they're thinking of doing something. However, when I talked to a gentleman named Eric, and he told me about basically they've been building cabinets in the Kansas City area, and they've been doing that successfully for 25 years. What really got me interested is when I started asking about his avatar and his target market. He knew it right off. And he started explaining, like, hey, I've got this stuff down. Like, we're actually doing very well. We turn away work. And it's simply now, I'm just getting, you know, he's in his mid-50s. He's, like, doesn't want to be doing this when he's in his, you know, for the next 5 to 6, 10 years. He wants to take all that info in his head and put it down on paper. So I'm like, this guy's great. I mean, I immediately carve out time for him because I see I can give value and we can engage with each other. And maybe I can learn something about woodworking. That's something actually, it's a secret passion of mine. And I'm trying to, you know, get into it more, but I recognized the time and effort that he's put into his business. And that's the big thing I think that people respect. They respect you as human beings, but they really will make time for people that have put in the time and the effort. And veterans, you know, that right there gives you a leg up, but it's not going to give you – it basically gets your foot in the door, or the fact that you work, you know, you've got a similar background. I met a number of medical professionals. And all I kept thinking is, oh, you know, I got to get, you know, my introducing my friend Ben. I got to introduce him to Marianne. And so that would, you know, draw that in. So there are ways you can get that foot in the door, but I think you guys did a great job, you know, Joe and Mike, just presenting yourself well. And it was fun. I had a good time. All right. So we're going to do a round robin. Now, I'm going to unmute everybody because I'm curious. All right. Now, Ben, are you out there? I know I was curious.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yep. So I've got Ben Gledhill on the phone, and Ben has, you know, we've been actually working together about as long as the old high speed low drag group, and he actually runs was getting his business up off the ground, targeting medical professionals that have burnt out. And when we do a round robin, Ben, I'll go ahead and I'll pull up your website, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Probably just I'll do your intro, which I'm curious. Joe, did you notice that people said that was my superpower or something? Well, we were there. I had people coming up and saying that for some reason I do good intros. So I was like, okay, maybe I need to write something on it. But it's cool when you talk to people in person and they can give you that feedback straight up. But Tom, I'm going to turn this. Is there anyone else? Let me see. I'm going to call everyone's name. I want to make sure we're not missing anyone that could be on the phone and for some reason not popping up. I see Adam, EJ, Dave, Joe, Kevin, Mark, Mike, Michelle, and Trevor. Is there anyone else out there besides Ben?
I think that's it.
Okay. All right. Was wondering if maybe Marianne was out there. Okay. Or Curtis. But all right. So, Tom, I'll go ahead and we'll start with the round robin, and I'll let you take over.
Cool. Yeah. Well, last time we started alphabetically from A to Z, so let's go backward this time. And Trevor, if you're on the line, I know we recently spoke, and I know you're making some big moves here, but actually Trevor just finished up being a presenter at DreamU, Dream University. And anyways, I think that's something you should definitely share with the group, Trevor. I think that ties in really well to the topic of conferences and connecting with people. But if you could share some of your experiences there and what that's leading to for you, that would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So going back to the whole, like, the thing that progressed the most was just offering up to do that work for free. So last August when they had American Dream U at Fort Bragg, I went up to the founder and I was just like, man, this is disgusting that there's not more people here. When you have people like Ramit Sethi, Ryan Holiday speaking, and you know, they're sitting here interacting with vets and there's like 30 people in the crowd. So I started helping him out, and I just recently took on a position with his company as their military liaison. And, you know, that turned into, hey, why don't you speak at this event at Fort Bragg? And it was just a great experience. I mean, getting to sit and eat dinner with Charlie Hone and just talk about books and talk about anything under the sun, drinking massive amounts of water, fasting, his latest projects, you know. It was just a great experience. And then at the end of the day, everybody's there to help other vets. So for me, it was like very rewarding, and you know, I got to meet a lot of great people. And then at the end, they put on like a shark tank, and they let any vet go up there and for 3 minutes just pitch these investors and these successful entrepreneurs. And I went up there and did it out of an idea that I had like hatched the previous couple weeks about junior leader consulting. It was just a great experience. I mean, the whole getting up there and like trying to pitch an idea in 3 minutes, and it was just a great experience. They gave me some great advice, and you know, I'm starting to leverage it and starting to take a lot of massive action to get where I want to go. But you can't, I guess there's no value to put on the amount of contacts I've made through this one organization. And I'm sitting here, you know, before this started, I mean, I'm writing thank you notes by hand. And I've done that for every one of these I've gone to, and I've been to three. And it's amazing. I mean, I have LinkedIn messages back from some of these speakers that are kind of untouchable to get to. And I mean, in those messages are like cell phone numbers and blatant, like, hey, whatever you need, let me know, you know. And it's just it's been great. So helping out this organization as well, like I get to run an event for Ari Meisel and his mastermind coming up in August. So, you know, all of it kind of comes from just putting yourself out there and being very vulnerable and willing to add value.
Hey, Trevor, I think a lot of people may be listening are wondering, well, how did you even get to speak? Is it something that you've got all this experience and that you've been running your business for 2 years? How did you get into this position?
No, so I was adding, you know, working for free for this organization and doing everything I can to help them get more people into their program. And I went to an event that we had to drive a couple hours to get to, and you know, I just kept adding value and striking up conversation and helping out in any way possible. And then when they had a lineup of speakers, they were like, hey, we'd like to put in a veteran who's actually in the trenches doing this, you know, because everybody else that speaks is, you know, there's one or two vet entrepreneurs there, but mainly it's just people that have been successful in some walk of life. And they were like, we know you have a website, Uncommon Human, and we know that you're out, you know, developing different things, and you're also like in the job market thinking about finding a great job. So they're like, why don't you just get up there and tell your story and tell the other vets that, you know, like, you can, you know, about your job experiences as well as, like, getting started and taking action. So, yeah, I was kind of like the one speaker that wasn't a millionaire and the one that, you know, was at the same position as the people that were transitioning. So I think it actually resonated in a unique way with the audience because, I mean, people were coming up to me afterwards and like, well, how did you do all that? And I was like, literally, I was in your shoes last August, and I didn't have the site. I didn't have this. And, you know, I just started doing things and, you know, not accepting excuses, I guess.
I love it. I love it. And it kind of reminds me, does anyone remember the original Dream Team? What year? Yeah. What?
93 or 2?
92, right? What, and who was on that? Some of the older guys. Let's see. Who was on that original Dream Team? Or Dream Team?
John Stockton.
Yep. Who else?
Larry Bird.
Michael Jordan.
Yep. And who was the one player? Who was the one player that we always wondered, like, why in the world was he on that team? You guys remember? Who?
Christian Laettner.
Exactly. They needed a college representative. And so there's nothing wrong with you volunteering yourself. So there's a woman named Laura Roeder. And Michelle, you should definitely check her out. Ben, check her out. Mark, check her out. Laura is, there's a lot of things, like, she's an interesting woman. But one thing I really like about Laura Roeder is that she always says, like, just volunteer yourself. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Oftentimes, no one raises their hand to volunteer to take some of these positions. So she did that at South by Southwest back in, gosh, this was like 2008 or 2007. She didn't have much going for her, but she got a speaking gig, and she can always use that. Now it's almost impossible to get a speaking gig unless you're huge at South by Southwest. She got nominated, I think, for the White House award of, I think it's like 30 under 30 or something like that, but she nominated herself. Like, she wrote up a really good write-up, but she put her name in there. And it's one of those things that you can oftentimes, like, many places are looking for speakers. And if you bring something unique to the table, if you know how to do that elevator pitch, these opportunities can fall right into your lap. All right. So what do you think? Moving on to who's going to be next? We got Michelle up there.
Yep, I see Michelle.
Hello.
Go ahead, Michelle. Can you hear us? Hey, how you doing?
Yes, I'm here. Well, the biggest thing that happened this week is I took on a client into my highest program.
Yay!
So I'm happy.
Tell us about that.
It was a client, I think I told you last week, someone I was supposed to meet up with. Actually, she was a referral from a referral. And I met up with her, and she liked what I had to say, and said, when I first told her the price, she said, she says, ooh, that's more than I thought, but it's reasonable. I can do that. So I think the hardest thing for me was not to fall off the chair, but I maintain, and it's always when you get your first paying client, it always kind of floors you.
Michelle, I'm so proud of you. That is awesome. That's a big day.
Yeah. So it's awesome, but now the feeling I have is I want to make sure she gets more than she expects. So I'm going back over my program and creating handouts and stuff like that, you know, so she gets great value and she has something to take away with her.
You know, one thing that you can do is simply ask her, what are the three things that you, if you got out of this program, like, you would just be ecstatic about? Ask her straight up.
Okay.
And then deliver those three things and more. And there's a couple of very powerful psychological things that happen here, is that she's going to, I mean, she won't go, no one wants to go against their word. And you will deliver on what she tells you. And it also lets you know if you're missing something in your program that you should have, because that's what paying customers want.
Okay, good. I'm typing, so no, I don't forget.
No, solid. Use it. I stole it from somebody else, and it works wonders when you can solve their burning problems right out the gate, and then the rest of it is gravy.
And good. Thank you. And the other big thing is I have a friend who is a marketing friend, and she has time off in the day. She has her own business, so she's found certain women groups on Facebook. And so she's been tagging me, you need to join this group, you need to join this group. So now I'm actually, like, one of the groups has like 8,000 members, I think, and another group has like maybe 800 members. So now I'm in this group with, you know, a phenomenal amount of women that I can glean from, I guess you would say. So
you said these are LinkedIn groups?
No, they're actually Facebook groups, groups. They're private groups.
Okay.
And so one of the things I was doing is I was going to do a survey anyway. So now I have a captive audience because I've started building relationships and just interacting within the group. So you're starting to get the likes and the attention and stuff like that. So. That was something that I was missing, too. It was always, where do I go to find these women? How do I, you know, outside of my warm market or people I knew? So now I'm starting to build that out, too.
Now, is there a way to figure out who's the admin of the group?
Yes, I know the admin for both of them.
Great. And, you know, just make sure you add value, and it may be even something that they want to maybe make an announcement to the group. Or if you're going to be in there letting them know what you do. But I tell you, it's a fine line between spamming in the group and actually, you know, putting your stuff out there. But it sounds like if you've got that relationship, then you'll be able to skirt it no problem.
But, right. One of them, what I like she does is she actually has rules for her group. And there is no business stuff, per se, until Friday. And I forgot to call it Something Friday, where each business who wants to will spotlight their business. And if they're having a webinar or whatever, that's the day that you put that out there. That's the day everyone expects it. And that way, as you say, you're not spamming. So I kind of like the way that's run. That's very well run.
Great. All right. Well, Michelle, awesome. Thank you very much. Tom, what do you think? Let's go to Mike.
Yeah, Michelle, congrats again on getting the client. It's very cool, and I'll be excited to see you get about 10 more here in the next few weeks. So,
yes.
Mike, how's it going? Can you hear us?
Hey, I can hear you just fine. Again, just floating from NMX. Two things that really kind of got me started and kicking my butt and doing things I need to get done. Mark Asquith was there. He helps run podcast websites, which is something I've joined with John Dumas and with him. And so we were there, and he helped me get things set up on the website. So we got the foundation laid, so it's up to me to get that done. And Tony, I'll have to go over to your I'm going to get this done today website and get a piece done every day. The other thing, you know, you're talking about people that you meet, I forgot to mention Lou Mangiello. Do you know him, Antonio?
I was on a panel with Lou.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, great guy. That's right. We talked about that. You know, I did a podcast thing, but I talked to him afterwards. So absolutely freaking, genuine. And, hey, Mike, you know, give me a call. If I can help out, I will. I mean, you know, he's got some products as well, but he was just very, hey, you know, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. The chance talk to Mark and actually get some things moving, and then also working with Lou, It was just a really neat experience. And again, everybody's got, you know, ebbs and flows. Like, hey, I'm ready to go. Oh, I'm kind of having a tough time. I'm ready to go. I'm having a tough time. And before I went to NMX, I was kind of in that tough time thing of, you know, I've got to do this, got to work this, got to do that other thing. But it kind of re-energized me. And so this week I'm really looking forward to getting a lot of things done. And if not going live, at least having three or four podcasts completed by the end of this week. And so you guys can hold me accountable to that and go from there.
Awesome. And I love how, Mike, you're hitting it. It's not work. You felt energized. You're surrounded by people who are just there. Really, they want to inspire you. They want to add value. They're excited for what you're doing. And they want to show you the way. And Lou is a perfect example. What a great guy. Really, actually, yeah. I mean, he's a recovering lawyer, he'll tell you. But, excuse me, he's built an entire business around, what do you remember what it was, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Walt Disney World. There's a podcast on Walt Disney World. But the thing is, by, you know, just talking about what he loves over and over again, the news stations come, hey, you can be on our show. So we started off on local TV. Now he's on flipping CNN, you know, when something goes on at Disney World and stuff. He's the expert. If you want to get the Walt Disney World expert, that's the dude. And, you know, he said that he really had no idea it would get anywhere near that big. But, you know, you also talk about, you know, taking a step, you know, take a call to action, taking a bold step. He told the story where, you know, he'd been a lawyer, but it just wasn't really pushing his buttons anymore. And he thought, you know, I really think this would work, you know. And so he talked to his wife. I forget where he's living. I think I'm on the East Coast somewhere. And they packed up and moved the family to Orlando so he could work on this show and be closer to Disney World. And first off, you know, it's like, hey, honey, guess what? We should move, you know, and sell our house and go there. And, you know, good on her. She said, hey, you know, I believe in you. If this is what you want to do, let's do it. Wasn't hard to convince the kids to go to Disney World every day. They were on board as well. But, I mean, that bold action, you know, saying this is what I'm going to do, that really also really inspired me. So I can't say enough good things about it.
Solid stuff.
Awesome.
Hey, really quick, Tom, I want to share a you guys should be able to see my screen here in a second.
I can see it, yeah.
Okay, perfect. So, got stuff going on over here. I'm going to try to set, we're basically going to be setting up email reminders this week. It's going to be very ugly and rudimentary. I'm still building this other site out, but I think it just goes to show we're already getting people in here. They're engaging. I would like to see more of you all in here making a commitment. Now I have to recognize someone. I need to recognize Mark. Mark, you've been doing a great job. He's been in here quite a few times putting stuff out. Ben, you've been doing a great job as well over the last week. And I can really see Mark has been going in here and saying he's going to get up to speed on what needs to be done. And sure enough, the guy's just been going through one at a time, knocking through a lot of these tasks. Now, I know some of you guys are a little bit behind, but, you know, it does pay dividends. And I did want to congratulate, you know, the blue team for victory in that first module one. So module one went to the blue team. Now, module two went to the white team. And really, this was pretty easy, even though there were some quality answers. Mike, you put some great stuff in here. Mark, James, you had some great stuff in here. It was by overwhelming majority the teams going in. So I took quality, but I also couldn't ignore numbers. So module three is still up. And so module four is still up. So I would encourage the red team to pick it up. It's, you know, it's okay to be down one right now. But if you go down too much, the blue or the white could run with this. So that is my little interruption. Don't forget, you've got High Speed Elite going on. And this sales one is a powerful. In fact, I'm going to do this. Sales is worth two. So we've only got seven that we're going through. And sales is worth two of them. This one is so big, so powerful, and so important that I want you guys to get in here and knock through this. So make sure to go check out the sales module. There's a lot in it, and this would be a great opportunity, hint, hint, for Red to get back in the game. So that is it. And get over here at I Will Do This Today. Let's make things happen. Okay. Back over to you, Tom.
Yeah, that was good stuff. And on that note, guys, too, sales, like everybody here who's on this call is in sales. And that's something you have to wrap your head around. I think it's a good thing. I think it's enjoyable, and I hope you guys find enjoyment out of it, too. But that's why the sales module is so important. They're all important, but I think sales is especially fascinating to me. How do you close a deal, right? Whether for a small product, whether for a big service, if you know how to sell something, you'll be okay. You know, and that's really what the whole module is about, is to show you what triggers people to want to buy, how you get them to trust you, and so on and so forth, and then close the sale. So check it out. It's really good stuff. Now, let's see. Mark, I think we're on to Mark. Have we had you? Mark, have you talked yet?
No, sir.
Okay, sorry. I was just looking at my spreadsheet. So we got Mike. Okay, cool. Mark, would love to hear from you, man. How's everything going with the writing? And obviously you're killing it on the curriculum, so.
Yeah, everything's good. And, you know, as far as that sales module goes, I found it really valuable. There's a lot there, like 12 blocks, but each one is just like a bite-sized piece, and so it's not, overwhelming. But it was really great information. As far as the writing's going, it's coming along nicely. I've been working with Adam a little bit on developing a narrative and kind of weaving in some of my thought process into the whole story of what Josh and I have been through. So Adam's been helping me a lot with that, and I really appreciate it. I'm writing content every day, 500 words or so. It's interesting because I'm all over the map, it's not like I'm going in chronological order or anything. I'm just kind of bouncing around. So Tom, I'll upload that stuff into our share file, and you can take a look at it when you get some time. And I've been working on the landing page and the website, which, I haven't done much of this stuff, so it's been a real learning curve for me. But Tom gave me some great feedback on the first setup I had, and tried making some adjustments, but the template wasn't working. So we put a new template up from Lead Pages, and that's kind of where we're at right now.
Stuff, Mark. I appreciate it. No, it's definitely coming along. The ratings come along. It's taken form. And, for everybody out there who struggles with tech, I still do a lot. And I can say that, one, the learning curve, it gets better over time. You get better and faster and so on and so forth. But also just to remember that it's a marathon, not a sprint. So, and not everything needs to be perfect, at least perfect to, what your standards might be. And that's more just me self-reflecting on that stuff. But the reality is good enough. It's usually good enough when it comes to visual design and stuff like that, at least to get your message out there. So don't stress too much if you guys are running into tech difficulties. And if you are, let us know on the forum what we've been able to do in the past. On some occasions when his workload isn't too heavy, Yuri's been gracious enough to help people out tech-wise on the back end. So Antonio, I don't want to volunteer that if that's not an option right now. But I know if he had some free time, he was able to help some guys out. So if you guys need help, just put it out there.
Just reach out to me, and I can put you in touch with Yuri if you don't already have his email. That's something that it's a limited amount of time that he can go to every single one of you guys. But it is something. That service is there. If you need a theme from StudioPress, you can just type in StudioPress, and you can see all of the themes that they've got. They've got a number of StudioPress themes. They've got some third-party ones. I don't have access to those. But if you want a theme installed on WordPress, and if you don't know how to do any of that, like if I'm talking a gibberish language right now, we can get you a temporary server theme and website set up, and even help you with the URL. That stuff, I don't want that to hold you back. So in Mark's case, let's get something up there so that he can be putting it out there. Worst case, you're putting it in Google Docs. But let's not, I don't want the technology to hold you back. And whether if you need help with a graphic with graphics, I've got an artist that that you know we can make available to come in and help you guys put together some images and like just some quick graphics for your website. And if you need help on social media, you really want we're going to have a section on social media. But if you want help on it right now, I've got a I've got an assistant that works for me, and that's her entire job. She's built up my Pinterest page, so if she built this herself, and it's amazing. It brings me 10,000 referrals a month from that Pinterest page or that Pinterest thing. So little things like that, like she knows the stuff, and that's I've got these team of experts. So when you're ready, you know I put them in touch with you so that they can help you take shortcuts and make leaps here. So let's go ahead and Kevin, are you out there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
All right, Kevin. I'm going to go ahead and let's hear what you got going on.
Well, I'm trying to overcome a challenge of communication and how to communicate with my target audience. I'm putting some feelers out there, and I'm not getting back the feedback that I would expect. So that's where I'm at right now.
Well, do you think that's good or bad?
Well, it's good in that I'm learning what not to do.
Yeah.
So, now I have to just get to what to do.
So a lot of engineers, they spend $100,000 or $1 million building out a product, and then they try to sell it. So, and we talk about this, maybe Tom, you can talk a little bit more about lean methodology and why, you know, we've covered this already in the modules, in the whole strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom, maybe you can kind of rehash on the importance of making sure basically the avatar wants what you have to deliver.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, right off the bat, guys, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that that's the route you went, Antonio. It's the route that John went. It's definitely the route I went. Slightly different tactics, slightly different ways of getting there, but I think the one thing that all three of us have in common is that we bootstrapped this stuff, so which is to say that these businesses that we've started were self-funded. They didn't require a ton of investment, and the focal point of that is figuring out how to get in front of and pitch and sell early adopters who are going to be the first people to essentially be willing to buy on a promise, which is tough. It's a really tough thing. It sounds a lot simpler than it really is, but the reality, there's a lot that goes into that back end. But the benefit is if you can figure that out, if you can figure out who your early adopters are, where they exist, where they hang out, if you can figure out a cost-effective way to reach them, again, the idea here is you do it on a budget because you don't necessarily have Series A funding or something like that, and you figure out a way to reach them cost-effectively and then to pitch your product or service, if you can get them in. They're also the real beauty of doing it this way too is you get people into a program or buying your product or service who are understanding that there will be mistakes and issues in the beginning, and they are accepting that there will be faults in these kind of new programs or new services, and they're going to be the best people to actually troubleshoot what you're creating. So not only do you get paid, but you get somebody to help you troubleshoot it as you go. So that's the concept of bootstrapping, that's the concept of lean methodology, which is to say that you need to find product market fit as quick as possible, which is what I was just talking about really finding your early adopters, figuring out where they are and reaching them and then selling. And you need to do that before money runs out, right? So that's the overarching view of it. And Kevin, I'd like to to tell us a little bit more about what have you tried and what do you think you could try in the next week here to get more traction than you're getting right now.
Well, I think it's maybe the way the message is crafted. I'm trying to see how to sell without being sales, because I know no one wants to be sold. So I'm trying to for example, a couple people I talked to was like, exactly how that crafted. It was kind of like, how do we connect? And some of them were like, well, get to me through Facebook. I said, okay, fine. So you go to the Facebook page and you connect with them. And you send a little message, and you get nothing back. So, I don't know. I'm kind of lost.
Well, really quick,
go ahead, Antonio.
Yeah, Kevin, I want you to go back and look at module one, the mindset. And there's a couple of things that, I mean, that's one of the most important modules. And a lot of people go through it really quick and they don't really look at it. But Kevin, do you believe in what you're offering? I mean, do you think you're offering value?
Oh, very much so.
Okay. So why are you hesitant to be so crystal clear? It's almost like, so when my kids get vaccinated, I have to do a great job selling them on why this is, you know, let's get a shot. What usually happens, if anyone's got kids and they have to get shots, they know what I'm talking about. Or unless they're a baby, you pretty much are going to say, okay, if you are brave, if you can take this shot, which I know you can, don't worry. You know, we're going to get a treat. We're going to get an ice cream. With one of my daughters, we've had to resort to Barbie dolls. But, you know, it really was, I sold them on, you know, that, because I knew what I'm delivering is, you know, I'm giving them what they want to deliver what they need. And sometimes, you know, when you're engaging with people, and we also talk about, you know, communications, you got to be, you know, pretty strict. I'd like Michelle, you know, how did you set it up and really, you know, get your first customer? How can you share some of the ideas when you're listening to Kevin here about how he can really make that first sale or figure out what they really want?
One of the things I did is I actually did interviews with different women. I put out to everyone I knew that I was looking for a woman that fit this criteria that they knew and that I wanted to ask them questions. And I actually got my customer from one of the people I interviewed. Because during our conversation, we connected. And that's one of the good things about those interviews is you do connect during your interviews. Instead of just doing a question, I literally had them ask people, would they talk to me for 20 minutes? And actually, a lot of the conversations went to like 40 minutes, but not because of me, because of what they were sharing with me. But that's how I formed relationships with people.
Were all of those interviews in person or on the phone?
They were on the phone, but they were all taped too. Okay. Everyone I talked to allowed me to tape the conversation so I could refer back to it.
And I find that, you know, one of the things you talked about, Kevin, is just how people don't necessarily respond back. I find Facebook, one of the problems it's having with monetizing is the lack of intent or the intent that people have when they're on Facebook. And that's to be distracted, to have a good time. Twitter has some issues with it as well. YouTube has issues with it. It makes up for a lot of it on volume, but oftentimes the intent of someone on YouTube is to be entertained. So I like LinkedIn connections. Those are of good value. Phone connections, that they're having to make a commitment there. And you can get them to confirm, to say, hey, yes, I will follow up with you. So we've got a follow-up and to be very specific with people. To me, it's about respecting time. And I would rather have I want a no or I want a yes. Anything in between is, you know, honestly, it's not good. I mean, maybes, no, I think people usually know. It's almost like you get her number or she says she'll call you. Well, we all know what that means. You know, it's like, no, you know, you're either going to, we need to get a straight up answer. And so I would say if you know your why, if you believe in what you're selling and if you know it offers value, then you need to be able to convey that when you're trying to set up that follow-up with the potential client. Or, you know, it sounds like it's a little bit, you know, we're not setting up a firm communication path and having a solid follow-up sequence where, or it may just be that your initial leads are not very high quality. Does that help at all?
That could be, yeah. That could be it. Yeah. The quality of leads.
Okay. All right. Well, it's definitely, again, you know, going through those modules, pulling, you know, some great info from there. And feel free, I know Tom had already talked about you guys. When was the last, did you have a conversation recently with Tom?
Yeah, one, what, about a week or so ago.
Okay.
In probably Yeah, about a week ago.
Okay. Well, once
and so really, yeah, that the challenge has been. Oh, go ahead, Antonio. Sorry.
Now I was just going to say that we'll be graduating into smaller group calls here. Here probably the end of May. So, but right now it's about exploring things in a low cost environment. You know, right now you're not putting up $100,000 or you know going off and renting an office for for $1,500 a month. So.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie, Kevin, let's hop on a call here soon, too, because I'm doing some kind of interesting, fun, nerdy, cool stuff when it comes to identifying leads and how to segment them and then how to reach out to them in bulk, which is definitely an art and a science. But a book that I might recommend, if you have the chance to read it, is called Sales Hacking, I think it's called, or Hacking Sales. By Max Altshuler, who just ran the Sales Hacking Conference. And it's all about how you basically do reach out to people. And there's all the and the book is all these different pieces of tech that you can use, pieces of software that you can use to scrape lists and find information and then figure out a way to kind of package your pitch or kind of reach out to them and start touching base in that way. So it's really powerful, and it might be at a pretty advanced level, but I highly recommend it. So and let's hop on a call soon to talk about that.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Cool, Kevin. All right, Joe, you're up, man. I know we heard from you earlier, but we'd like to have an update on how everything went in the past week and what you're working on. You're muted, Joe.
Sorry, I was trying to unmute, but apparently it wasn't working for me. You're every 2% smarter than the machine. So what I'm working on right now, I've decided that this week is the week for sales. And I'm pretty much I'm focusing the whole week on trying to get at least one sale. However, the universe is trying to get in my way. So, like, I mean, I'm talking like appointments with the VA. All of a sudden the wife has things for me to do. Everybody else has priorities over my life. So I'm trying to filter myself out and focus just on getting that sale. However, I'm not certain how I'm going to do that. I have a somewhat of a strategy for both online and offline tactics. Some of them have been consisted of me going around to, I know that there's some small businesses, some shops in Anchorage, so I've been going to their websites and looking at their websites, and the ones that need the biggest hug, I'm thinking I'm going to focus on as far as going offline. I just don't know if I'm going to approach them via email or walk into their shop. I don't have business cards yet. So I don't know if I was going to print out a flyer, and what would I say to them? How would I approach that? At the same time, too, I'm not getting the engagement, kind of like what Kevin was talking about, is I'm not really getting the engagement online. I did get a bunch of followers, and I have made a bunch of connections, especially after Jamie Tardy friended me on Twitter and retweeted some stuff. All of a sudden, my stuff just started blowing up. And she introduced me to some people who kind of followed me on Twitter as well. And then, you know, so my Twitter following has gone up, but I ask questions and there's no engagement. And I'm only getting about between 4 to 8 people a day on my website. And I want to boost those numbers up as well. And a lot of that has to do with giving it time and doing more consistent marketing as far as social media. And I'm currently writing some blogs, but I've got to get some new ones out. So there's just a lot going on, a lot of overwhelm. I'm not really sure how I'm going to do all of that right now.
Well,
and I also met... I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
And something else, but what I've been doing, I put out that email doing the tactical thing, so I was like, as I said earlier, I'm reaching out and connecting with these people that Mr. Mangello, I'm probably going to butcher his name, the Lou guy from Disney, I talked to him as well like Mike did, and he's actually taking a Disney cruise up here to Alaska. So I was like, well, man, by the way, I happen to live in Alaska, and the Disney cruise goes to Anchorage. So you guys will stop off, and I told them like the route that you'll take. I was like, you'll stop off here and all that stuff. But where they don't take you and what they don't tell you is the stuff between point A and point B. You know, get to Anchorage or whatever. If you want, I'll come pick you up at, let's say, Alyeska Ski Resort. I'm going to start showing you the places where the mountain goats hang out. Or you can come watch the boreal tide, which is one of the largest tides in the world. You know, all these different things that the Disney cruise doesn't show you. Or if you want to go fishing or something like that, he's like, you know, I'll show you around. I was like, just let me know. If you bring in your family or whatever, maybe you can come over for a barbecue. And I was like, he's like, awesome. So I emailed him, and we'll see where it goes from there. So I've been trying to do some of that networking and connecting. but I haven't gotten any feedback as far as, you know, because, I mean, it's still early, too, but I haven't gotten the feedback that I've been looking for yet.
Yeah. Well, a couple things. One is when you come up with, like, that list of things that of potential hurdles, obstacles, and, like, issues and things that are popping up all of a sudden, it reminds me of the War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. He calls that the resistance. It's like as soon as you start doing something worthwhile, there's going to be a million things that pop up and get in your way. And it's like as soon as you start, you realize, oh, this is the direction I have to go, you're going to find 100 reasons to not and all these distractions. If your goal is sales this week, I'd say let's look at this from like a lean methodology perspective. How do we get to point A to point B? How do we get to point B the fastest? Well, you have a whole group of people that are in this group right now that may or may not want a sales page done for them, especially for $100 or $200, whatever you're charging right now. I know I myself probably could use sales pages built. So I'd say step one is tap into the networks that you're a part of right now to see if anybody wants a sales page built. And if somebody says yes, send them a PayPal link, have them pay you money, and then build the page. You've had this opportunity before where you've had people in front of you. You just have to pull the trigger, send the PayPal link, get the money, and then actually execute and get the page done. I think you're going to be surprised that if you just do that in a few of the groups that you're a part of on Facebook and whatnot, you're going to have a few people that are paying for sales pages because you can't get sales pages cheaper than that. So that's your edge right now is to do it for cheaper than anybody else can do until you get that skill set built up, and then you can charge a lot more. Does that make sense, Joe?
Absolutely. And one of the things I'm kind of hanging up on is how do you approach that? Do you just say, do you need a sales page? Here's my link. Or, hey, man, could you use a sales page? If they say yes, say, here's a link. Or should I do a sales, kind of like a sales letter thing, even though I might know you personally, do a full-on ad for you? Like, I mean, what would be the best way to get that done?
The fastest route to get to a paid client is to, again, as High Speed Elite as an example, reaching out to individuals in High Speed Elite, for example, and saying, hey, guys, just so you know, I build sales pages, and I do it for this amount, generally speaking, and this is the kind of stuff that I've done. Here's my portfolio if you have some portfolio of items, or here's what I can do for you in a certain amount of time. Are you interested in that? Something like that, the reality is people are either going to need a sales page done or they won't, and it's no harm to ask somebody. If they need one, then it's a no-brainer to go with you if you say I can have it done in X amount of time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And something that I'm actually going to add to my sales page and add when I'm offering people is that they don't really have to do it now. They can get it now, lock in that price, but I'd have to put like a deadline of like within a year or so because you know I'm going to keep track of it and everything. So I think that's something I'm going to add on there as well is that to remind them that even though they buy now, they don't have to use it until they're ready for it, kind of a thing. Does that make sense, or should I not? Should I just not do it that way?
I think you should just reach. I think right now, I think it's all about low-hanging fruit when it comes to sales. I think you have low-hanging fruit in the groups that you're a part of right now, and you don't need to do any special stuff. You can reach out to these people in High Speed Elite. You can reach out to people in your other Facebook groups, and you can say, hey, guys, I build sales pages, and I offer it at a ridiculously cheap price because I'm building my portfolio. Is anybody interested in a sales page? And then people are going to say yes or no, probably yes, and then you can say, okay, here's what I charge. I charge X amount, $200 or $300 or whatever, and we'll do a strategy call or a sit-down call to get, you'll provide me this information, you'll fill out this information, you'll give me access to this website or whatever. You know, whatever your structure is for onboarding the client, for like getting the information you need to do the work you need to do. But the key is put that PayPal button up front basically after somebody says, yes, I do want that. Say, this is the price, lock it in now, and then these are the next steps. The first step is we're going to do a call. The second step is you're going to fill in the stock. The third step is I'm going to build out the sales page. And that's it. And you could come away with 10 sales this week. I don't doubt that for a second if you just did that.
Awesome. Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, okay, so we had a little bit of background noise. So if you're getting background noise, make sure to try to mute yourself. But we're going to finish up the last bit. Tom, really quick, you guys should be able to see my screen. Where's Tom? Tom, can you see my screen okay?
Yes.
Okay. Game Changer Profits. I saw these guys work at InfusionCon. They walked around. So they had a captive audience. They were giving out cards, and they invited us. They actually did this at the worst time. Thursday, as everyone's flying out, they were having an extra meeting. So I show up to this thing, and they had rented out a room. They probably had eight people present, and it was a four-hour talking about what value they can bring. Now, honestly, the presentation only went on for about an hour and a half, and half the people in there, you know, I did not feel were the right audience. Now, here's why it worked for them, and they were able, out of that presentation, to get, I think it was around, what is that, $68,000 in sales. How did, wow. They got $68,000 in sales because they had a target market. They were selling a $17,000 service. That's how much it costs. 3 months. They're going to deliver in 90 days. They say 60 days here. But in 90 days, they are going to build out your entire funnel. Now, you guys can check out what they're doing. But they only had to sell four to get that $68,000. And I know how many they sold because my buddy, who went along with me and was actually kind of laughing because he's like, hey, I didn't think he'd buy. And all of a sudden, he loved it, and he bought. I didn't buy, and I was the one that got the card. I came very close to buying it because the solution was so good that if you're already making money with your business, it's a no-brainer. So, Joe, make sure you're able to show the value of what you're going to – it doesn't matter if it's $170, $1,700, $17,000, or $170,000. If you can show the value, and if your lead is qualified, and if you solve their problem, it becomes you need to make sales a no-brainer. So look at what these guys, and understand, long term, you want to be eventually selling the $17,000 product. You know, old John Dumas, if he was selling the basically High Speed Elite for $100, which many people sell something of similar value for that, his sales would not be 10 times what they are. They would probably be half to maybe one third to maybe one quarter of what they are. So understand, you know, it's one of those things that if you solve the problem, you can charge what it's worth. But you've got to be really particular, Joe, about making sure how clear you are of what problems you solve, and make sure you can't solve the problem. You know, me and you have gone back and forth on, you know, where to improve and how to get better. But you're getting really good. Now you know it's a matter of now closing in on those sales and making it happen. Now, I'm going to go ahead and – I'm sorry. I'm going to unmute everybody, and you guys all should be unmuted at this point. So we've got Dave, and then we've got BJ, then we've got Ben, and then we've got Adam. So four more, and we'll let you guys each take about 3 to 5 minutes to summarize what you got going on. So next up is Dave.
All right. Hey, guys. So for me, this past week, I did my first podcast interview where I was on somebody's show, and you know, I think it went well, but I kind of need to work to figure out exactly how to do it better because I have to suffer through Sri Lankan internet issues, so that was kind of a bummer, but lesson learned. I got a couple of guest posts done, and I worked on CSS changes to the website to try to make it more aesthetic or easier on the eyes as you read it. There's a lot of rules online about, you know, spacing in between lines based off of the font size and so forth. So I really worked on trying to change that so it's easier to read my articles. Priorities for this week is that priority number one is to work on that supplemental content that's, you know, basically to go with, hey, if you click on my affiliate link and, you know, you let me know, I will send you this. Blah, blah, blah. So that blah, blah, blah is really what I'm working on right now is number one. Number two, I've decided to go through Edgar, meetedgar.com for my social media strategy because I like the idea that I can pre-generate some 300 or 400, you know, Facebook posts or tweets or whatever and then schedule out based on categories so that it will kind of continuously send my word, you know, in the way that I want it. I think that it was on Pat Flynn's podcast they were talking about it, so I finally pulled the trigger and I want to do that. Number three is working on trying to set up my video equipment so that it's better. And number four is practice with Webinar Jam. I just purchased Webinar Jam, one of the webinar software that Jeff Walker was promoting, and I think it's a nice option. I got 30 days, you know, to figure out whether or not I like it, but I'm going to set up a free webinar just talking about SEO for bloggers, basically. And what I'm going to do is just tell people, hey, look, there's not going to be any opt-in, there's not going to be an affiliate, there's not even going to be a sales here. All I would like is that at the end of this, if you guys were to send me, you know, kind of a, I'm going to send you kind of a questionnaire, and if you'd answer, let me know how I did, how it sounded, how it worked. This will give me experience with a webinar, and at the same time will give me some real honest, you know, reviews from people. And in exchange, they're getting some what I think is good information. So,
awesome. Good stuff, Dave. I mean, you're crushing it, and I'm glad to see the progress. And when is this webinar?
I haven't set it up yet. I'm just trying to plan it out. I'd probably try to work it like next week or something like that. So,
perfect. Good stuff. And do you have some, how are you putting the slides and everything together? You know, do you have any examples or classes that you're taking on how to present your webinar?
No, that's actually going to probably start trying to figure that out, I guess, this week or something. Try to figure out the way and so forth.
Yeah, I would recommend John. John actually has a really good kind of free series of emails about creating and presenting webinars. So if you Google it, that's, I don't know, it's like 7 or 14 days or something like that. And that should give you a good primer on how to put together a webinar and all that. So I'd recommend that free and pretty solid resource. Yeah, John Dumas.
Okay. Awesome.
Cool.
So that's all I got.
Good stuff, Dave. BJ, how's it going, man? How's everything going with the brew?
Hey, going well. Doing well. Hey, everybody. Just want to say hi. Hey, sorry I wasn't here last week. I was sitting on the beach in St. Martin. I went on a cruise. But what's interesting is that because of all the stuff that we're doing here, I couldn't sit still. And so I really was thinking about, you know, what do I need to do for the business? I actually read finished a book on water brewing water chemistry. Which was painful, but really necessary, it was kind of interesting. But now I'm back, and one of the things I realized is that, and I've not done conferences. It's great to hear the stories about the conferences you guys are going through. But I'm not sure if this last week was conference week, because just this last weekend was the Craft Brewers Conference in Portland, Oregon. About 11,000 craft brewers were there. And that's the big craft brewer conference. And one of the interesting things was is they had Simon Sinek as their keynote speaker. For those of you who remember from Module 1, Simon Sinek is the gentleman who does the Start with Why. Just really neat to reading some of the transcripts, and it really resonated with the stuff we're doing. So it's kind of nice to see it through here first, and knowing that that, you know, the things we're doing with High Speed Elite are being done out in the real world, but we're kind of ahead of the game, which is kind of neat. For this next week, I promised Tom that I'm going to start working on pricing my brew house. So the biggest thing about that is identifying how much is it going to cost to build this thing. And so there's a couple pieces to it, in that I have to identify location, what equipment is needed. I already identified the size of the brew house. It's going to be a 15 barrel. Which ends up being like 360 gallon brew house, going through that course that I took helped me out, because I actually went and saw some of the other brew houses here, and they were set up on the cheap, and I'm hoping to not do that, and I want to make sure that I have the right stuff. So that's my thing for this week, and also I'm driving around and taking a look for location. Right now I'm in a place where there are 15 breweries within, I don't know, half a mile, And so that's a pretty competitive market. So I originally was looking at convenience, and now I'm thinking, yeah, it's probably not a good idea to be here, here exactly where I live, but somewhere close, because there's still a great collaborative brewing scene here, which everyone kind of works together. And then one other thing is I chatted with Marianne last week, which was great. So the whole mastermind thing is awesome, so we're working together. And what was going to be a 15-minute chat about how to attract women to beer turned into a two-hour conversation about all of her businesses that she started, and just I took pages and pages of notes. So it's wonderful just sitting down and just chatting with people, because things just turn into other things, and she had other questions about brewing, and it just was really, really really special. It's cool to hear from her, and obviously I'm getting a lot from the High Speed Elite, but listening to her was just really, really powerful for me. So good stuff for me.
Awesome, BJ. I appreciate that. And yeah, guys, it's another reason to reach out and connect with other people in this group. Like, everybody here has done some really incredible things, and even if they're not doing the exact same things as you, I think there's a lot of opportunities to learn from these other members that are in High Speed Elite, to see what they're doing. Because even if you're not making a brewery, right, you can probably resonate with some of the stuff BJ's going through when it comes to figuring out what he has to do to get it up and running. And he's got a lot of things he's got to look into, because there's quite a bit of overhead with all that, which is pretty intimidating, but there's a lot of stuff you can learn. But Antonio, I see you just pulled up a screen. I don't know if you wanted to share something.
Yeah, a couple things. Ben, are you out there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, perfect. And I'll be your visual for your thing. But really quick, Michelle had a question about WordPress themes on StudioPress. Yeah, so you ideally want to have your own server. As it is, I've got like 5 or 6 unlimited servers with GoDaddy, and I can put up as many themes as I want. So I can host you for a while, but eventually you're going to want to have your own hosting. And hosting is simply where your website calls home and is spread out on the web. Usually it'll cost anywhere from, think about $5 to $10 a month. So you can do the quick math on that. For most of what you guys are doing, that's all you're going to need. And StudioPress is the, in a sense, the skin that goes on it. So any of the WordPress themes can be installed onto WordPress. If you're not using WordPress on your website, can't use a theme. And if you've got a really broken up website, we may have an issue with it. But overall, these are the ones I can get you guys for free over here on StudioPress WordPress, because I've got the premium account and I've got a developer's license. So that's what I can do there. Hopefully that solves or answers the question. I sent the link out to Game Changer Profits. And really quick, so this is what Ben has been up to, Physician Career Services. So I wanted to visually show this to you guys so that Ben can get you guys get an idea of what he is doing. And basically, we've got a real issue with doctors out there. They are getting burnt out. A lot of them come into medicine wanting to do good, improve the world, and then they finally get stuck in hospital admin issues. They're having, they just don't feel that they're doing what they wanted to do. And so the idea of Physician Career Services is to enlighten doctors, give them options as to, hey, you're actually really wanted and you could probably live a better quality of life if you considered maybe a rural physician job, something that a lot of them they don't realize that they're in the driver's seat when it comes to, in a sense, being able to get a job anywhere. They don't realize all the opportunity and that they could live a better life with their family and with their patients if they simply considered relocating, maybe getting into a different type of medicine and things like that. So this is, the idea of what he's going to be putting out for a podcast. So Ben, how did I do?
You're pretty spot on. The podcast might be something a little further down the road, but that's something that's in the back of my mind at this point. The whole concept of the site is my wife's a doc. I have like 7 docs in the family. I work for a medical company, so needless to say, I'm surrounded by medicine all the time. And that was a real issue that we struggled with. My wife was looking for a job a little over a year ago, and she had gone through a couple of job searches in the past. And the funny thing is, with being a doctor, you you get job offers. I mean, people beat down your door for a job offer and they offer you jobs, but there's not all, it's usually you kind of take what's given to you. My background is my wife was in medical school. I was in the graduate business school, and where I went to business school, it was a very good business school surrounded by elite schools. I went to Wake Forest, and that's a really good school, but, you know, 90 miles down the road, you have Duke, you have Carolina, you have Virginia that's up the road, you have Georgetown, you have Emory, Vanderbilt. They're all kind of in the same area, so there's a lot of competition. So they basically, and Antonio can probably talk a lot to this, that you're the biggest metrics, that, one of the biggest metrics that business schools are graded on is their how many of their graduates get jobs and what their starting salaries are. So I literally had a graduate level course in finding jobs. So I kind of used my knowledge of what doctors do or do not know when it comes to marketing their skills or looking for opportunities, and matched it with what I learned from when I was in business school and in my own experience and moving from job to job and leveraging one job into another one to have a higher salary or whatever. So that's kind of the genesis of the site. And at this point, I'm just struggling with kind of, all right, I have knowledge I want to share with people. I have to position myself as being some sort of an expert in this. And then ultimately have something that, you know, looks nice and hopefully generates, that helps people, that can generate some income for me. So
Ben, let's talk a little bit about, I mean, what is going to be the business model? And we've talked about this a bit, but, you know, who's going to pay and how are you going to make money with this?
And ultimately, I think my audience is, I think what I'm looking for is probably people who are hiring, you know, whether it's private practices, multi-specialty groups, hospitals, the VA, what have you. I think that it's those folks who have an opportunity that they want to sell to people and trying to create a kind of a more friendly environment where people can look for jobs and be, learn about what it takes to find one, and perhaps it's, you know, me pimping a site, or a hospital in, I don't know, Bangor, Maine or something, and so hopefully they'd sponsor, and I could say, hey, here's Bangor, and this is all the reasons why you might want to go here. Oh, and by the way, this is why it's a, you know, level 3 trauma center and has all these wonderful things about the job. That's kind of where I think that I'm going to make the money, but I think that my goal is to give free advice to docs. And, you know, maybe it might be a case where I can consult with some folks and help them through and, you know, make their decisions, or help them maybe hire an attorney to look at their contract, what to look for in hiring an attorney. And a lot of the things are potential blog posts. So I think that's kind of the angle I'm going for. I mean, there's a lot of, like, headhunters out there that try and be go-betweens between practices or hospitals to go out there and find doctors and bring them in for jobs.
So what is the value of one doctor going to a hospital? What a hospital put on that value to recruit an awesome physician that would stick around?
Well, I can tell you that depending on the specialty of the doc, I would say that a doc is worth about $1.2 million in revenue a year. So if I can bring in one, they generally will pay our physician recruiter $20,000 to $40,000 just to, you know, make that connection. So my thought is, if I can, you know, some hospital somewhere is struggling to, you know, make a name for themselves or stand out, if I have good web traffic and I'm having a lot of people looking at the site on a daily basis, and you have people sending their, you know, they see this opportunity, and like I said, from out of a place like Bangor, Maine, they might be able to generate, you know, hire 2 or 3 docs out of the deal. I mean, it's super competitive to get docs. And I would say that they'd, you know, whatever it would take for that sponsored post or whatever, that could be a start. I know there's probably a lot of opportunities that I haven't completely explored at this point, but
I think ultimately that's where I want it to go.
So I like to share with you guys, you know, what I get for a sponsored post. Or we usually charge $5,000 for a video by itself. Combined with other things, I'll sometimes charge $8,000 to $10,000. But the value of my customers, we have a lot more traffic than what you would be able to get here, Ben. But the value of your individual customers is so much higher than. So I think we've talked about this. I think the real money to be made here is to getting the customers. The real customers are going to be the hospitals who would come in and sponsor the podcast. And it would be your trust that you develop with these physicians who may start to listen to, you know, may listen to 100 of your podcasts, may 50 of your podcasts, in which they hear interview after interview of the value of considering rural medicine or moving outside in New York City, despite the fact that all your family is there in the city and that's just where everyone's at. But then you find actually you really just enjoy Maine, or maybe you really enjoy New Hampshire, or you really find that you love Indiana or living in the Midwest. Because even if you've just got 100 listeners, if the value of each of those doctors in revenue is $1 million, I mean, that's a lot of value there. And I think the hard part here is that there's only one other physician, or there's a physician doing something similar, right?
There's some, the closest thing I found is basically headhunter type groups.
Well, what about that one guy, Kevin, or the MD?
Oh, Kevin MD?
Yeah.
That's kind of a website that the practicing physicians go to just to kind of get an idea of what's going on in medicine. It's kind of like just people post about lots of different things there, you know, talk about the state of health care or why they hate the patients, and or stuff like, you know, that doctor who got shot up in Boston, you know, earlier in January, and talking about that impact. You know, that's more of the kind of the social impacts of medicine, like, you know, on people practicing it. So there might be a few people who post in there and say something about jobs or being burned out or whatever, but it's not specifically for that. It's just kind of like a variety magazine for docs.
Well, the power of this, again, we've talked about that you can target his Facebook fans. The value of each of these customers is very, very high. And because of the trust that he's built up with his audience, I mean, he could simply bring up one or two rural hospitals and they would get a flood of calls if he actually went there, visited, and checked out what they, and that's only because he trusts them, the trust he's built with his audience. So this is one of the reasons I wanted everyone to look at this is I think this is a great example of where you actually have a much smaller market, but the value of the people in that market makes it something worth pursuing versus a lot of us are going after much larger markets and the value of the customer isn't as high. And in this case, you're not selling to the doctors. We already talked about a lot of the doctors, they don't want to spend money or buy anything, especially the students, for some reason they just don't see the value at this point. It's the burnt out doctor who is really the, in a sense, that's the trust you want to build up so that you can sell him on where he's going to want to end up going and check out and what hospitals he should be speaking with. At least that's what we've been talking about.
Yep. So it's an interesting challenge, and I think I'm up to helping folks. You know, I like to think I'm, you know, nobody really can fully understand how much these folks put into their career unless you actually do it or live with somebody who does it. And believe me, people think the doctors make a lot of money, but compared to the amount of effort they put in, they really get paid squat comparatively to, you know, what they do. So I'd like to help them if I can.
And BJ just actually shared that he had a doctor in his course who was learning how to brew beer because he's so burnt out on becoming a doctor. And that would be a great person just to speak with on your podcast. And I think, you know, Ben, if you'd like to get in touch with Mike, or actually Mike already left, but Mike's getting his podcast up with the ground. And sometimes you need an accountability partner. I know you want to hold off on it, but if nothing else, just recording interviews for just, hey, I may never even post this. I just simply want to hear your story. And being able for other doctors to know, and I know, you know, they feel, many of them feel like other ones feel like this, but for them to be able to commiserate with others who are like physicians just like them, that are in a sense jaded with the current state of the system, you know, that right there is going to, people love, you know, to go around the water cooler or show up at the bar and to be able to commiserate with each other about what's going on and what the problems are. And, but then to be able to build up that trust, that audience, and then provide some solutions, that's where we're going to monetize on one of the ends of that, if not both.
Yeah.
Okay.
My goal is to make them not want to become brewers, because it's better for society if they stay as doctors as opposed to make beer, unless they make really awesome beer, in which case I'll...
It's probably okay. That's your opinion.
Come on now. Come on now.
All right, guys. Let's go. You know, Ben, feel free. I know some of you guys, we got a call tomorrow, so I'll speak with some of you tomorrow. Next up, we've got BJ.
No, we have Adam.
Oh,
we
just Adam, went I'm through, sorry. Yeah, that's right, BJ. Sorry about that.
Can you hear us, Adam? Yeah, I can hear you, Ben.
Okay, sweet. Hey, Ben, are you still on?
Ben, you still out there?
I think so. I didn't hear anybody drop.
Let me see.
Well, anyway, if he is, I currently go to school at Harvard with a number of doctors who are in this situation and who ended up leaving and who are doing amazing things. So if you can hear me, reach out to me. Let me know if you want to interview them or talk to them. I'd be happy to connect to you. As for me, I also got my first client this past week, which was amazing. And that was with kind of the thing I posted on High Speed Elite, specifically around the conversation of helping people understand and identify what helps drive them and understand how to tell their story. And that's something I've been working with a professor at Harvard on, which is just a tremendously moving and wonderful experience. And I can't wait to work with these people on a weekly basis. And it's really jumpstarted my motivation on it, which is I was doing one thing, which was professional development for teachers around project-based learning, which I'm still interested in. I'm still taking action on. I interviewed two administrators in Chicago Public Schools. I have a meeting with two professional development providers this week, as well as a teacher who's interested in project-based learning and kind of is my persona, if you will, or avatar, as we've been calling it. So I'm still pursuing that, but kind of a little bit slower. School is about to end. I'm about to graduate with my second master's degree, and let me tell you, the papers and projects are killing me, which is great. But I will say that my big hang-up right now is the tech pieces, learning how to work WordPress. So if you guys end up deciding to do another meetup or anything like that to kind of go over the basics of it or help jumpstart, I have a theme. I've got some help from some individuals in the group. But with the amount of time I have right now, trying to learn a whole new platform is kind of my the thorn in my side right now.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, I think we'll have to do that. What I'll do is, in the next week or two here, hopefully in the next week, what I'll try to do is arrange a kind of office hours on the tech end of things. So send them your particular challenges, and I'll see what I can do to put together some sort of training. And that goes for everybody on the call right now, so that we can try to knock out multiple tech issues, if you will, or tech training all at one time. So, guys, if you're out there, just shoot me an email with what you're struggling with right now, and I'll see if I can put together a training in the next 7 days for you guys to go through important tech pieces of your website, lead generation, optimization, sales funnels, whatever you guys need, and we'll go through it. But hey, otherwise, get started, Adam. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of my challenges, I don't know what I don't know yet.
Yeah.
So when you ask me and you email gotcha. Something like that, yeah. I'm a little clueless on what to say.
Okay, well.